do we exist? Were we created with a purpose, or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. Join us as we seek to see a generation captivated and transformed by the truth of Christianity. This is The Universe Next Door.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door, where today we're going to be interviewing an actual former psychic, an ex-psychic who had a psychic practice for years and is now a follower of Jesus Christ. So how did that happen? Do psychics actually tell the future? Where do they get information? Do they really talk to deceased relatives and so on and so forth? What about Ouija boards and tarot cards? Are all these things actually real, or are they just sort of psychological tricks? And what elements of this whole thing are actually found in the Bible, and why should you be aware and actually warned of it, especially when it's being taught to our kids and to adults through TV shows and media and so on and so forth. And so Jen Nitza, who experienced these things firsthand for many, many years, even performed these things, is going to give us all kinds of information on it. She's going to answer all of our questions. But before we do that, I'm going to be interviewing another expert on some of these things, and that would be my son. How are you doing, bud?
Hello.
Would you like to pray before we get started?
Pray. Deep.
Go ahead and pray, bud.
Deep.
Say thank you, God.
Thank you, God. God's good.
That's right. God is good. Say, bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I was going to ask my son some of the, sort of his take on the demonic influence stuff, but he's had a long day. So let's get into our interview with Jen Nitza. Before we do that, make sure you hit follow wherever you're listening, Apple, Spotify, whatever. Hit follow and hit the notify button. We get a ton of new content coming out, including what does the Bible have to say about divination? Did Joshua actually make the sun stand still? And what are sort of the different views on that? And who is the Satan or the Satan figure in the book of Job? Because it might not be who you think it is. So make sure you hit follow so you don't miss any of that. With that being said, let's get into our interview with ex-psychic, now Christian, Jen Nitza. Jen Nitza is our guest today. She is a former psychic and now a follower of Jesus Christ. She has been featured on some very prominent shows, including the Michael Knoll Show of Daily Wire and a number of others. And she has her own channels as well. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But Jen, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. I'm blessed. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We've been looking forward to this interview. It's not every day you get to interview a former psychic. So there's a ton of questions I have, especially on, you've heard them all, but especially on the details of what psychics actually do and don't do, how many of them are real psychics, just the paraphernalia they use, just the whole thing. But I wanted to start by asking you, how did you, first of all, get into divination? How did you become a psychic? And then later, how did you end up following Jesus Christ and leaving all that behind?
Mm-hmm. It started for me when I was 13 and I had my first tarot card reading. That was very intriguing to me. And I often say that that was when I walked through the demonic door that was open for me through that divination, through that tarot card reading, because I didn't understand how could cards know things about me? How could this woman who was a perfect stranger to me know things that happened, know things that had gone on? So I wanted more after that. I was so amazed by this. I was raised culturally Catholic. So Jesus was brought up, but not, I had no relationship with him. I had no faith in him at all. So I was really a sitting duck, to be honest with you. I got my own tarot cards. My sister and I would read each other. We would leave the table after. I often say it's kind of like when people have a cigarette after their meal, we would go read tarot cards. We would.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was, it became an everyday thing. And the more that I was reading cards, I started getting more information from, of course, demons. But at the time, you don't think that's who they are. I mean, I didn't. I didn't think that they were demons. I thought this was a gift. Later on, I was told it was a gift in the New Age community, that I had a gift from God. Because what happened was, it escalates. You go down a rabbit hole of destruction, really, because the tarot cards led to numerology, led to astrology. I was getting charts done. I was getting readings and giving readings. And at that time, it was just for, you know, family, friends, things like that. As it continued, as I continued, unfortunately, in this, I received information through a dream. And I use that kind of loosely because I really believe in those sleep stages. You're so vulnerable in the middle of the night to demonic attacks. So, you know, a lot of people, that's a whole other issue anyway, dreams. We can get into that another time. But I got this information from whom I believed was a deceased person. And this person was indirectly connected to somebody that I knew, just in, you know, just enough connected that I could share the information, but no way could I have known any of it. So that's what I did. And this person was as floored as I was when he came back and told me, yep, they understood all the information. This was this young guy who died. This is what he looked like. This is how he died. So now I'm like, what is going on? Because I was just, I wasn't used to that. I was used to the other tools of divination. And so, of course, I went to the medium because that's where I always turned to for anything going on in my life. I always turned to divination from 13 on. So at this point now, I was in my early 20s. And of course, she told me that I had a gift from God that needed to be used to give messages from deceased people to their loved ones, to connect them, you know, connect them from the other side. If anybody can't see me, I'm doing air quotes right now because that's new age verbiage. And that's the thing. See, Satan preyed, P-R-E-Y, on my compassion. And I would cry with these people. I felt sorry for these people. I always had a hard time with death also. So I wanted to help people with that.
I remember when I was a teenager, I had a friend who did like tarot card readings. And he did one time. I don't remember it at all. But how does it work? Like when you would do multiple ones, did you get different readings, different times that would like contradict each other? Or is it like they work in unison? What exactly? Because I would imagine it's not like you get all the same results every time. How do the tarot cards work?
You mean like for different? Okay, so let's talk about tarot cards. Tarot cards, as I mentioned, are a tool of divination. So it's a cardboard card with a painting on it that actually has no knowledge about you, has no information about you. It's a created thing. But the demons you're invoking when you enter into divination are going to give you information. So here's the thing. With every tarot card deck, there's a little booklet in there with meanings for the cards, layouts for the cards. That is all channeled information. So that is coming from familiar spirits already. That's coming from demons already, what's in that book. So unfortunately, many people today can go into any store and get tarot cards. It's horrible. Can get tarot cards. It's so mainstream. And they're going to look at that little booklet and they're going to kind of learn. But you see, they've stepped into divination. So beyond the booklet, they're going to receive information from demons. So how does it work? Well, you're receiving information about people from demons. You're going by that book. And yeah, it's going to resonate with you, of course, because you have to remember something. Demons are all around. They're studying. They're observing. They've seen the patterns. And they're not people. They're intelligent, powerful, ancient creatures, okay? In regards to readings contradicting themselves, I assume you may mean for the same person, like if the same person was getting, because,
yeah.
So I don't particularly remember readings contradicting themselves, but in the new age, there's always a justification if something didn't happen the way it came out in the first reading, right? So it could be like, you went down a different path. That's the way it was going to go, but you made a different choice. Or you have a trauma bond, or you need to break that. You need to do more smudging. You need to get some crystals. Like there's always just a new age demonic justification.
Like when you were doing this, when you started getting into these readings and doing them for other people, was this like normal in your group and in your school? Or are you like an outcast? How did that work?
Well, I wasn't talking about it that much in school, like when I was younger, but when I went to the divination group, those were my people. I went to a divination after seeing that medium. And when she told me that I too was a medium, she gave me the business card of a woman who had a divination group, which we call classes or whatever, but it's not like going to psychic university. It's being with a group of people that are all in the new age, and the leader of the group, which is where I have to say I got exposed to far more than I could have even imagined in that group. The smudging, the guided meditation. There were people in there doing tarot card readings, crystal readings. Who was the psychic medium? Who was reading, you know, whatever, all different. And I went from I can't say 0 to 100 because that wouldn't be true, but I went from, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, 50 to 100 after opening myself up more to these demonic communications.
Oh, wow. And I think that's an important distinction you made, that like a piece of cardboard or whatever, paper, yeah, whatever it is, doesn't actually have power, but you're yeah, invoking a spirit. And this is the same thing mm-hmm. we see in the Bible. Like in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says yeah, an idol is nothing. It's just wood or whatever. But then yeah, in the very next verse, he says that when you worship them, you're worshiping demons. And they would do that same thing in ancient cultures. They would have an idol, a wooden or a stone or clay idol, and they would invite a spirit into it. Yeah. And it's even the same thing we see in the Old Testament, that when mm-hmm. Israel is worshiping quote unquote gods, they're actually mm-hmm. worshiping demons. They're yeah, not just worshiping nothing. And so this is something we get into a lot, but it's important for people to understand that just because you see a pack of cards or some kind of game board or whatever you want to call it, it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that nothing's happening just because those are inanimate objects.
That's right. I'm so glad that you said that. I am so happy that you said that. And 1 Corinthians 10, 21 says that you cannot drink out of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, sit at the table of the Lord and the table of demons, because unfortunately, we see a lot of people claiming to be Christian. And I might have said that I was Christian at the time. I certainly would have said I was Catholic. Mm-hmm. You cannot be a Christian witch or a Christian tarot card reader, or it's an oxymoron. You can't.
And while we're on this, what about Ouija boards? Did you ever use those or engage with those? Like, what exactly is that? Because I've never heard like a sufficient theory for how it would work if it wasn't real. Like, people will say, oh, it's this thing where you do it, but then you forget you did it. And so it's actually just a psychological thing. But that doesn't sound convincing to me. But yeah, what are those all about?
And that, you know, honestly, I would encourage people to do your due diligence. And in regards to divination in and of itself, read the Bible about that. And also the Ouija board, I think people usually know that it's blatantly evil and they're intrigued by that. And that's why they go get them. And that's why they use them. Honestly, it's disgusting that it's marketed as a game towards children. Satan is definitely targeting children all the time. It is a tool of divination. A Ouija board, again, it's a board, right? It's a created thing. It has letters and numbers on it. It has a couple of words on there, like yes or no and hello and goodbye or whatever these days. And what's happening, there's a planchette. And you're getting together as a group of people or whoever, and you're putting your hands over this. I don't want to be too I don't want to tell people how to do it. But the bottom line is this, that there are demonic forces at work through this invocation of the demons, because that's what you're doing. Again, you and I both know, and people need to know, that the Ouija board is wicked. People are trying to contact the dead. And I think most people know that when they enter into this, right? I actually just shared a story, and I share it on the Michael Knowles show as well, that when my sister, her friends got together to use a Ouija board when they were young teenagers. This would be a great illustration of this, actually. These are like 13-year-old girls, like I said. They get together. They're asking a question. Who's going to die first? That's what they ask, right? So now the thing is moving around, right? The planchette's moving around. There are energies at work there. And I hate to say energies because it's not ambiguous. They're demons, okay? So it's not that these girls were purposely doing that. They weren't moving it around with their hand. People need to know that. And it spelled out the name of one of the girls that was present. Now, check this out. These demons, because they're around, they're watching, they knew that that girl was battling depression. They knew that girl was struggling in her own life and areas of her life, right? So they're merely giving a suggestion, a disgusting, destructive nudge in the wrong direction. They don't know the future. They can't really answer that question because only God knows the future. Not a long time after that, that girl actually committed suicide. It was the nudge that she needed to do it. Well, hey, you know, this is what's going to happen. And then they're real. they're really dangerous, and you need to stay away from Ouija boards and any and all tools of divination. It's no joke. It's not a game.
Yeah. And you can see how, so like, let's say somebody who doesn't know Christ and they're desperate, they might try to go to a psychic or a tarot card reading or something like that to try to find some kind of information out. But the Ouija board is just, it is strange how it's marketed. It's just like, hey, yeah, you could talk to these dead people or these spirits or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it has, not that any of it has a positive upside. It's all obviously demonic, but,
right.
And you mentioned something I agree with. It's that only God is omniscient. Only he knows everything. Only he knows the future. And it's easy for us to attribute his attributes to demons, whether it's like we think Satan is everywhere at once. We think he knows everything. We think he's all powerful. It's so easy to give him these titles without consciously realizing it. So how do demons give you information? Like, obviously they've been around for so long, they can study us, but in regard to when you were a psychic, I would imagine that at the time, did you know you were hearing from demons, or did you think they were actually deceased people?
No, I really thought that they were deceased people. I thought they were spirit guides, that these are just spirits that are trying to help you in life. I call that the counterfeit Holy Spirit or the counterfeit guardian angel idea, that the spirit guide is trying to help you, give you wisdom in your life, point you in the right direction, you know. But the familiar spirits, I believed, were these people's deceased loved ones. Absolutely. Mom is coming through. Dad is coming through. I would instantaneously get information downloaded. That's the best way to put it. They're not your thoughts, but instantaneously the names, the birthdays, and I would be channeling, and I would hold a notebook and a pen, which is automatic writing. So I would either scribble while I was doing it, or I would start all of a sudden getting, you know, symbols and things like that. And I would express those to the person sitting in front of me, who was an absolute stranger, by the way. And even the people that weren't strangers, I could read them as well, family included, because it would always be information that I never knew. So it's important to say that, because listen, it's interesting to me that God is using the internet as a big part of my mission field, because I'm technologically challenged, but
join the club.
But I want people to understand the reality of psychic mediumship and divination, that it's not always going to look like somebody with a pointy black hat and a cauldron. It's going to be a young girl like me at the time, a young woman like myself who shopped at the Gap, lived with mom and dad, single mom, wanted the best for people, cared about people, and was really believing I was helping people. But there was no Googling. I don't even know if Google was actually a thing yet. There was no Instagram. There was no TikTok. There was none of that. I had a name and a phone number. That's what I had. And my whole business was word of mouth. And yes, it was a business. And I just want to say the reason for that, I remember the divination leader that I had in that group, where I came out of there with the business cards, because after all, you have to charge, because there has to be an exchange of energy. That was the idea.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's so disgusting.
No, them giving you the money was somehow energy, like it was some kind of transaction.
Yeah. Looking back on this, I have to tell you, it's painful, it's difficult, and at times laughable, really laughable, that I even fell for these things. Because think about even astrology, right? You're thinking a planet knows if you're quirky or how they're, or where they were when you were born, means that you're going to be conservative with money or not. I mean, everything. And then you make decisions. This is what these are why people are using these tools of divination. They're going for what they believe is help, but decisions, insight, and wisdom in their life. Should I do this? Should I be with this person? No, you're a Capricorn. You're a Cancer. You shouldn't be together. Oh, well, then that solves that, you know, and it makes zero sense. It makes created things. That's idolatry. That is idolatry. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is directly idolatry. And again, it's like this inversion of what God intended, because we see in Genesis 1:14, he meant for stars and so on and so forth to mark sacred times. And so what happens is this concept gets hijacked to where people don't realize it, but they check a horoscope every day and think it's going to tell them how their day is going to go. Like, there's 100,000 people whose days are going to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
It seems kind of strange to me. But when you mentioned automatic writing or information being downloaded into your mind, I think I have two questions here. The first one is, how much of the spectrum of psychics, like how many of them are really getting information from demons, and how many of them are just good at like maybe body language or cold reading kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Like, are there people who do that too? Because I was listening to an interview with Chris Angel, and he was, I forget who it was with, but he was basically saying like, if he was in a room with somebody who is a psychic, he could point out what they're doing. Cause he was saying by the end of it, you might hear this thing happened and the wall was yellow and my mother passed away when I was 11 or whatever, but you forget all of the questions they ask you to arrive at that conclusion. And so you just remember the information that was significant. But how many psychics are doing that? And how many of them do you think are actually directly hearing from demons or doing automatic writing?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I can't possibly know how many psychics there are in the world, but I would say from my experience that more people than not are truly receiving demonic information. There are hucksters, there are cold readers, there are, you know, in every group, there are hucksters and charlatans, right. You know.
Even in church, yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and especially here in New York, although unfortunately, again, now it's so mainstream. There's like a palm reader every half a block in Manhattan, Queens. Mm. You know, there's like the shops are opening up. But I think that more people than not are actual psychics. This has been going on for ages. This is not something new. This, as you mentioned, the Bible speaks on this. It's not silent. God is not silent. People have been doing this for a very, very long time. Now it's just so acceptable. And it's so mainstream. I think that's why you're seeing more, you know, more of them out there.
Do you have a view on 1 Samuel 28 when obviously the mediums are cast out of the land and Saul goes to Endor to have this medium and she brings back Samuel, who she says there's an Elohim coming out of the ground, which is a being from the spiritual realm. But do you have a view on that? Because that's such a strange story. But it's there. And it's like, anyway, do you have a view on that?
Yeah, that's people always point back to the Witch of Endor. I mean, there's so it's a really interesting conversation to have, actually, because you see a few things. You see that she gets surprised.
Right. She's shocked. Yeah.
And again, I'm quoting here, when Samuel is brought up, you see that she gets shocked by that. So if this was her regular thing, why was she so shocked? That would be the argument for it being Samuel. Right. Then you could say, but God condemns this. This is a familiar spirit. I think R.C. Sproul said it well in something I read a very long time ago. Regardless of whether it was Samuel or not, the Lord condemns divination, consulting or practicing diviners, and says the person themselves doing it is detestable. So no way, shape, or form is that passage suggesting that you should go to a psychic because it's real and this, that, and the other thing, you know? So that's where I'm going to land right now. I know that my pastors believe it was a familiar spirit. I don't know 100%. That's my position.
Yeah, no, I was just curious to see what somebody who used to be a psychic would say. Cause I do. I mean, I think it was Samuel, and I think he gives them the prophecy in the next day Saul dies. And so it's, anyway, that's a story for another day. I was just curious.
And that's God's sovereignty and authority. If that's what God wanted to do, that's up to God. That, you know, God, that's what people need to understand. Just don't do it. It doesn't mean that you go out and do it.
I think 1 Samuel makes it more than clear that that was a very, an evil, wicked act. I mean, that's just the end of Saul's gross reign. Mm-hmm. Now with automatic writing and this information being downloaded, what was it like? Like, I don't know how to ask this question, but was it like a feeling or an urge, or did you have visions or something like that? Like, what was it like to receive this information, and how accurate was it? Because obviously you mentioned there are some people out there who are just phonies or faking it, but when you did this, you didn't have Google. You couldn't look up people's information before they came in. You couldn't do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So how much of this information turned out to be accurate?
A lot of it. That's why my business was word of mouth, I have to say. Wow. I didn't advertise it or anything, and I'm not proud of this. I just want to make sure everybody knows that I am so sorry that I participated in that darkness. I was very deceived. So by no means is that, hey, look at me, I was such a great psychic. You know, it was very, very accurate, which is daunting, and I think actually should show us the reality again of how demonic and how sinister demons are and how they truly know things. And they are good guessers. So let's talk about those predictions. Well, let me answer your first question. So how did this come about? So automatic writings, I actually even did as a service. So somebody would ask a question or I would put their name. So I would just put the question or their name on the top of the page and I would go into a meditative state or a trance-like state, really, because you're kind of, you know, your new age meditation is so dangerous, folks. Please stay away from it because you're quieting your mind. You're going somewhere. And trust me, something else is going to be affecting you while you're quiet. Okay. And I would just start channeling words, things, everything. It was kind of like a reading on a piece of paper for me. I mean, I didn't use the computer, of course, you know me.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the information was extremely accurate. Now there were a lot of predictions in there and yes, a lot of them came to pass. Now, demons are excellent guessers. And I want to use this quick analogy. I'm a human being. You're a human being. We can make predictions with an excellent rate of accuracy. If you are married, if you have children, you have a 9-to-5 job, you are seeing things happening every day that people around you do. If I ask you on the 31st day, right after 30 days, what's your wife going to do at 8 o'clock in the morning? What's Jane Smith going to do when she comes into the office at 9 a.m.? Because she does the same thing every day. You're going to predict that they're going to do what they've been doing, right? But that day, something could be different and only God knows. So imagine these demons again. These are intelligent, powerful creatures. They're not human beings. They've been, and we're not difficult. Let me tell you, we are not a difficult people to observe, okay, and to predict things about, right? We're really not. So a lot of the predictions did come to pass and that would bring people back.
Wow. Now, if this is too much of a question, that's fine. But what's like the craziest thing you've seen? Like, did you ever give someone a reading who, and they were like demon possessed or have any kind of like visions or anything like that? Like what kind of things did you experience? Like being so involved in this sort of demonic realm?
For me, myself, or did you mean for clients?
Like either way, like just something you'd seen or experienced.
Something that I experienced, and I think, thank you for asking that because I want people to know this because people will push back against this. Mm-hmm. I lived in a lot of fear. As the demonic oppression increased in my life, there was fear. And I wouldn't have said I was afraid because there are demons around me all the time. I thought I was afraid of something physical. So I was afraid to be in the house by myself. I would lock all the doors thinking I was just afraid of somebody breaking in. Now, please don't misunderstand. It didn't mean that I didn't have happy times in my life. It didn't mean that I, you know, was doing something wrong. I wasn't protecting myself enough or whatever. No, I was demonically oppressed and every psychic out there is as well. It doesn't matter what they're making it look like. You don't go home with them. Okay. So I did have a lot of fear. I just would keep going back to false tools of protection taught by the New Age, encouraged by the New Age, like burning sage, candles, meditations, imagining white light around myself as if our imagination has any power against demons. Only Jesus has the authority over demons. They're only afraid of him, not any of those things. So I did have a lot of demonic oppression. And yes, I dealt with some very scary things. And I'm open about that. I speak about it in my TikTok videos and some other, my books and things. I used to do group readings, and when I would leave, I was so afraid to drive home. I would see these familiar spirits. I mean, they would come back with me. I would see these familiar spirits on the highway. And imagine you're doing 50, 65 miles and whatever, you know, in there on the road, and it's dark, and you see what looks like a human being. And right as I would approach, you know, it would just fade out, like they would just fade out. But imagine if I stopped short. Imagine if I would have stopped short because I thought I was going to hit a person. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I could have died. Those demons want to destroy you. That's what they want. And I would see them in the car with me as well. So looking back, you know, the fear I had driving back from those things, it was terrible. But the devil can't thwart God's plan, which is the good news out of that story for your life. But that is the real and present danger of serving the devil.
Yeah. And obviously you were engaged. And everyone to a degree is. Everybody is either under the domain of Satan or under the domain of Christ. But mm-hmm. you are like practically engaged in the demonic realm. How would you describe I guess, like spiritual warfare during that time compared to now? Because I don't know where you landed this. I hold the belief, of course, that a Christian can't actually be demon possessed, but that doesn't mean demons cease from existing. So how would you describe, like, I would imagine you're not driving into demons today.
No.
Or are you? Like, what's thank different God. Then and now in that regard?
No, thank yeah. God. And I'm on the same page with you. A Christian cannot be demonically possessed. We can be oppressed. And we know that Ephesians 6:12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but mm-hmm. the principalities, authorities, cosmic powers and darkness in the heavenly places, so that there is spiritual warfare, of course, for the Christian. But you see, then I didn't have the shield of faith. I didn't have the armor of God. I didn't have Jesus. I could have been possessed, and I argue I was very close to it. The oppression was nonstop, constant, to the point where, like I said, that was actually how I came to Christ, because the oppression was so intense. It brought me to a moment where I cried out to Jesus, the Jesus I never served, I never cared about, except for in the movies when they would show his crucifixion, and I would cry because that was really sad. You know, it was terrible. So then it was a completely different thing. Spiritual warfare without Christ, forget it. First of all, you're a sitting duck, like I mentioned before. For you could be horribly oppressed and possibly possessed by demons without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit. Now I have the Lord. I've had a few psychic attacks in the over 10 years that I've been saved. And that's when the devil wants to get to me, because I really do argue that demonic attacks are personal. What's going to annoy me, bother me, upset me is going to be different than you. So the agenda, though, is the same, to get the Christian down and out. And especially with the ministry that God has entrusted me with, you think the enemy wants me out there exposing his tactics, sharing the word of God, evangelizing, and helping to win souls for Christ? The enemy doesn't want any of us, any Christian, to go out and do those things.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and people have to be aware of that. It's like, of course, mm-hmm. your life's going to be much better following Christ, but that doesn't mean it's mm-hmm. going to be easier,
right.
Or that the challenges are going to go away. They're just going to change, and in some cases even get more difficult, especially when mm-hmm. what you're doing is effective for God's kingdom. Now, you mentioned movies, but when you look at like different TV shows that are on, and they've been on for years, mm-hmm. that seem to kind of center around witchcraft, even for children,
yeah.
Or the music industry or whatever. How do you effective do you think this is? Like, how is it being used? And do you think, is there a line somewhere of what kids or even adults should and shouldn't watch and should try to intentionally stay away from?
It's so interesting you bring that up. I'm very passionate about that, actually, and engaged in some sort of a debate with a Christian who believes it's fine to participate and watch all of those things. For me, first of all, it's extremely effective on behalf of the enemy to reach people for his army and to get them into disobedience to God. You think about Taylor Swift and her constant promotion of witchcraft and New Age ideologies that then go viral on the apps that all the kids are on, the young girls are on, the young guys are on. And of course, it's going in their minds, because think about it. The enemy is just preying again, P-R-E-Y, preying on our sin, our vulnerabilities, our insecurities, right? So if you're without Christ specifically, then and you're upset in school, or somebody broke up with you, or what, now you have Taylor Swift talking about the invisible string, and hey, you know, if you meet your twin flame, then you should leave your spouse, and that brings you into adultery and divorce, sin against God. But the witchcraft, I mean, she went in a Baphomet mask. She promotes witchcraft in that song Willow. I mean, it's extremely effective. And these horror movies, when people are wondering, well, first of all, putting those things in your mind is just not good for the Christian and the unbeliever and the believer. So if we're talking about just Christians, I would encourage you to be extremely discerning over what you watch and listen to, because you just don't want it going into your mind. We have to guard our hearts, you know, and it's not good. The battle starts for the mind, really, and how we think, right? The enemy wants us to doubt the Lord. He wants us to get confused. He wants us to get upset and anxious. So I would not fill my mind with those things.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. You should be thinking about what's good. And the question for the Christian isn't only what can I and can't I do? It's like in 1 Corinthians 9, when Paul quotes the Corinthians, he says, all mm-hmm. things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to think more about what's profitable mm-hmm. For the kingdom and for ourselves and for our mm-hmm. spiritual well-being, and things that people don't think are spiritual, things that are physical or psychological or whatever it may be, they all affect your spiritual life in different ways. I mean, even if I'm going to read the Bible, I'm doing something physical. I actually have to read it and think about it. And so all these things affect our spiritual lives. And it's when you recognize that spiritual warfare isn't just yelling at demons. Spiritual warfare is a thing that's real, right. Where you're constantly being tracked in. I really love how the book Screwtape Letters puts it. Mm-hmm. I just love the imagery where I don't love it. I hate it. But I love how mm-hmm. he draws it out, where it's like, this mm-hmm. is a constant thing from beginning to end. And demonic forces do not want you to succeed in any way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. It's so important to be aware of that. But I did just want to ask you just two questions about coming to Christ and coming out of the psychic world. Mm-hmm. But have you seen any other psychics like get saved, or has anyone else seen your stuff and like either been angry at you for it, or the other way around, like been influenced by it and come to Christ?
Not psychics that I know or that I knew, but yes, I've seen a lot of. Actually, somebody on my TikTok live this morning said something very sweet and encouraging. She said that when she found my content or whatever, she actually stopped what she was doing. People have written me that they stopped using tarot cards. They've come to Christ. I mean, I'm, sharing the gospel and all of these things too. And we know it's the gospel that has the power to save. And all glory always goes to God. It's a privilege for me to serve the Lord in any way that I can. I'm not responsible for anybody's salvation. I can't save anybody. But yes, I've seen it help a lot of people. And that's because of God doing it. That's God using my past and what I did to help other people now. And that's how he does it. And it's amazing. And then it encourages me in the spiritual battle to keep getting up and keep going. You know what I'm saying? So the Lord really, it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's really encouraging when you get to see the fruit of your labor on earth. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait to see all of it. And when you came to Christ, what was that like? Was it like gradual or sudden? Mm-hmm. What was your, I guess, like sort of your testimony to coming to Christ?
Yeah, it was a little journey. It was gradual because I cried out to Jesus in that moment of horrible demonic oppression, but I had no idea what it meant. Like, I knew that I felt this peace that surpassed really all understanding. After that, I wanted to quit my job, but I didn't know why. As a psychic, I had no idea why. I did not hear the gospel. I did not know that I was a sinner that needed to be saved. I did not know that Jesus was the mediator. I didn't know anything. I just knew I had this particular experience, right? So the Holy Spirit is so awesome. So I went on for about 10 months kind of seeking and wondering, like, what happened? What am I doing? Why don't I want to be a psychic anymore? What's going on? And then I did stop for a while, and then I went back to doing readings. Well, that didn't last that long. The Lord was at work. A good friend of mine that I had met in the divination group that I had been years prior, we became very close, and she was coming over for dinner. I hadn't seen her in a bit, and she was coming over for dinner. Meanwhile, she had been saved since the last time that I had seen her, and I had no idea. So she comes over and she's telling me about Jesus and this church that she started going to. She invited me. I said no. And a month later, I woke up on a Sunday and I said, I want to go to that church today, but I don't know why. Very familiar, right? Like, looking back, that was like a realization for me that the Holy Spirit was at work the whole time. And that was the day I went, and it was a very different experience for me because I had only been used to going to Catholic churches. But I was there, I heard the gospel, and we're singing. And when the lyric came up, Jesus saved me, I flashed back to the moment that I cried out to him. And it was like this confirmation suddenly. And I just fully believed. And I just fully put my faith and trust in him. I started crying, and I was indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And I went home and I looked up, what does the Bible say about psychics? The Bible! Never cared about the Bible prior to this.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny, I got saved about 10 years ago too, but grateful to have you as part of the church. And thank you for the work you're doing. I'm sure there are plenty of people who don't like it.
They don't like it. Nope.
Yeah. It's so important to have people in these specific areas that know and understand it inside and out.
Yeah. And you did mention, it was actually pretty interesting. A woman wrote to me, and a couple people did. And they were like, I'm so sorry, Jen, because I was so nasty to you like 3 years ago or something. And now, of course, praise God, I didn't remember that. I mean, there's so many things that go on. And so, I was so mean to you and all this stuff. And I've been saved since. And I could see now that you were trying to help me and whatever by telling me the truth. And that is so beautiful. I love seeing that. But it does provoke a lot of pushback, anger, because the demons are, and it's not me personally. And I know that. But we know that the gospel is folly to those who are perishing. We know that you're spiritually blind without Jesus Christ. So it's not that people will have a problem with you personally. They think it's with you, but it's really the Holy Spirit, Christ, the demons that they're operating under don't like the light of Christ in us.
Yes. Well, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for fighting the good fight. Before we go here, where can we go to see more? You mentioned TikTok. You have a TikTok, obviously. And then if TikTok gets banned, where else can we go? Like a website or something like that?
Well, I encourage you to head to my website, www.xpsychicsave.com, because I have all the links there, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, where we're at, everywhere these days. Yes, TikTok. Books are there, and you can reach me through my website as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll put those in the description. And is it like the letter X psychic or EX?
EX, okay, as informer. Yes.
Yeah, I figured. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we could do this again one day, but looking forward to seeing more. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door. Make sure you send in your questions to information@apologetics.org for our Q&A on the last Friday of the month. That's information@apologetics.org. And if you would like to support our podcast, the best thing you can do is share this episode with a friend. If you've learned something from this episode, if you like this episode, share this with a friend and hit follow. We got tons of stuff coming up. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a blessed week, and we'll see you back here Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on The Universe Next Door.